Hello and welcome to Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. Coming up on today's programme.
Teachers, very certainly, and parents as well, will understand that children's literacy levels drop during the summer. Things that we do with them in June, when they go back to school in September, they've forgotten them. And that's what we call the summer slide.
We'll hear about how one initiative is attempting to halt the summer slide in literacy levels among students in Ballymun. But first, as always, we go to Barry Hennessy for this week's news. You're welcome once again, Barry.
Hello again, Sean. Well, we've one big education story this week, and it's the launch of the government's much-awaited National Plan for Literacy and Numeracy. Ever since the results of the 2009 PISA report showed an alarming decline in the literacy standards of Irish 15-year-olds, the question of both literacy and numeracy has been high up the education agenda, and indeed a matter on which there was broad agreement across the political spectrum. Work on the literacy and numeracy strategy had started under the last government, but this week it fell to Rory Quinn to launch it with considerable passion.
Inevitably, asking the hard questions and demanding change, as this strategy undoubtedly does, is challenging. It implies that what we are doing now, what we have done for some time, is no longer sufficient. This is an uncomfortable admission for all of us, no matter what part of the educational system we belong to. Uncomfortable, yes, but absolutely necessary. I want to emphasise to you today how vital it is that each of us responds to the challenges in this document in an honest and committed way.
By 2020, the strategy aims to achieve a 5% increase in the number of primary pupils performing at the highest level in reading and maths. A similar increase is aimed for in the number of 15-year-olds performing at the highest level in the international PISA study. The plan also calls for similar scale reductions in those performing at the lowest literacy and numeracy levels in primary, and a halving in the number of 15-year-olds attaining the lowest level in PISA. In terms of the classroom, primary schools will be the first to see real change, with an increase in the time devoted to literacy and maths from this September. Peter Mullen is from the Irish National Teachers Organisation. Will its members be stepping up to the plate?
But primary teachers have always been ambitious for education and have always done their utmost to make sure the standards in literacy and numeracy and in other areas of the curriculum are maintained.
Now, the increase in teaching time, first of all, that is coming in, I mean, it's interesting, I was just saying that it's in primary schools that the effect of this strategy will first make itself felt in terms of the classroom. From this September, 90 minutes for literacy, 50 minutes for maths per day right across the primary school. Did primary schools have advance warning of this, or will there be any confusion when they reopen, do you think?
No, this has come out of the blue. It's rather a strange time to be launching a document like this and have an immediate kick-in time in the new school year. I would have thought a little more time would have been advisable. We're a little bit puzzled by the department's decision in this regard because their own research showed that the fall in literacy standards in PISA could not be attributed to the primary school curriculum. So, on the one hand, they're saying to primary schools, use assessment data to make decisions, and they have data, and they're making a rather strange decision in relation to it.
I suppose one of the changes that's come in over the years has been the more diverse cohort of pupils we have in our schools in terms of kids who aren't from, if you like, traditional Irish backgrounds. Now, obviously, the attempt to explain the PISA results away by suggesting that was partly because of these foreign kids, it has been widely criticised. But do you think perhaps that part of the thinking here as regards the extra time for literacy in primary is the fact that the average primary classroom looks very different now to what it did 20 years ago?
It does look very different, and to be very fair to previous ministers, they have responded by increasing the resources to support that change in the classroom. Our fear is that we have a plan here that demands higher standards in literacy and numeracy, but it has been accompanied by a cut in teacher numbers, a reduction in funding, a decrease in support for special needs and disadvantaged children, and possibly a threatened increase in class size. So any or all of those cutbacks will compromise the potential of this plan to deliver what it demands.
And yet, Peter, people will say that we are coming out of a time of plenty, and yet the findings, particularly with regard to PISA, are a decline in our literacy despite all of the additional resources that went in during the boom.
I think we probably have to look at where we put those resources, so because we still have the second highest class sizes in the EU after a time of boom. We have roughly 30,000 primary teachers, 20,000 of them are classroom teachers, and 10,000 are working in non-classroom teaching roles. So perhaps we have to look at how we configure the available resources. But the challenge for the minister is to ring-fence frontline staffing in schools and find the resources to support a rise in standards. If he can't do that, then the plan will not work.
All right, let's turn to another issue that the Minister made considerable, the Minister devoted considerable attention to in his remarks this week, which is the issue of assessment. And he was very frank about this. He said, in Ireland over the years, we've tended not to want to over-assess, not to maybe make the mistakes with regard to league tables and over-assessing that they have, say, across the water in England and Wales, maybe. But he's saying now, given the problems we have, we've got to do more assessment of learning. There will be another set of standardised tests to be done, I think it's at the end of fourth class. Does the INTO welcome increased standardised testing within primary schools?
I think many people listening to the Minister's remarks on Friday were taken aback by the reference to assessment, because listening to it, you would think that assessment was not an integral part of primary school. We cooperated with the NCCA, we introduced standardised testing across the system on two occasions, and what fell down was the in-service or the professional development that was offered to teachers. It was never delivered upon in a systematic way. The introduction of assessment was a political imperative rather than an educational one for the then minister. It was something that she wanted to get on her CV. And the way to address the assessment deficit is to provide real, meaningful, in-depth professional development for all teachers.
Peter Mullen of the INTO, thank you for taking our call. And Sean, that is this week's Education News.
And that was Barry Hennessy with this week's Education News. Thank you for that, Barry. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on insideed.com, and you can write to us by email at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That email address again is insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Well, the summer slide is a phenomenon where students in primary and post-primary schools go backwards in their levels of literacy over the long summer holidays. This is a particular problem for students in areas that are designated as disadvantaged. With the summer holidays for primary schools beginning now, we find out more about the summer slide and what parents can do about it. Right Minded is a service of Young Ballymun, and I spoke to Martina Gannon, who is Literacy Coordinator of Right Minded, and Lorna McCarthy, the Literacy Development Officer. I began by asking Martina what plan Right Minded have put in place to stop the summer slide in literacy in the Ballymun area.
Well, our plan is very simple. It's to look at the, for a start, we in Young Ballymun, we don't work on our own. We work in coordination and collaboration with all the agencies and the very good work that is already going on in other organisations in the area. So what we've done is just to talk to those organisations, talk to the people who are running them, the people in charge, and just this year, our main objective is to raise focus around it, to raise awareness around it, and have people focus on putting a literacy element into whatever they're doing. We're not at all asking them to change what they're doing. Look at the activities they're doing and see where can they put some talking, some reading, some writing opportunities in there that the children can do in a natural way through their play and through their natural activities.
So these might be summer school activities that the children would be doing anyway. Is that right, Lorna?
Yeah, it's just like summer projects that are being run here in Ballymun already. We say, for example, children that are going on a school or a tour to a farm, they would be given song sheets with the words of the song, like Old MacDonald or whatever, and they actually have to sit on the bus then and read the songs while they're singing them. So they're getting reading activities in there for older children. They might be going to a roller disco. We've done some worksheets up on, or should I say activity sheets up on where actual roller skates were developed first of all. So they're learning a little bit of history. They still have to read all about it. So it's all about learning but making it fun, you know. Like, those activities might sound like, oh god, that sounds like school, but it's not school. It's the way it's done. It's kind of done while the project is ongoing, so it's actually a bit of crack, basically.
And to what extent do children in the Ballymun area, for example, take part in summer activities such as, say, going to farm trips, or, you know, maybe playing in soccer summer schools and things like that?
There are loads of organisations up here in Ballymun running summer projects. I think at count there'd be over 15 anyway running summer projects, and most of them have kids all age ranges, and some could have up to 100-200 kids at a time doing different programs. So it would be on their content, what their program is already, and you just kind of focus a little bit of literacy onto that, you know. So
your target then is mainly at the organisers of these summer schools and trying to get them to put in some literacy activities into the school.
It's about the organisations, but it's also a parent side of it as well. And Young Ballymun this year put together a child and parent activity book. So every child in primary school in every school in Ballymun from first class to sixth class went home with a summer slide activity book. And that was for work, either children if they're old enough and they can do it on their own, great, but it was also with parents, so parents can help their children to do the activities as well. So again, it was raising awareness with parents and also with the children, because the children need to know as well.
Martina, can you tell me a little bit about the activity book that the children got when they were going home for the summer?
Oh yeah, we had great fun putting that together. We tried to incorporate a lot of activities to look at a novel way of giving children opportunities to practice their talking, their reading and their writing in novel ways. So we had things like creative worksheets about designing a poisonous flower, giving it a name, telling what it does, colouring it in, and lots of other ones around space and topics that we felt were of interest to children. But we also held a breakfast buddies morning for the parents in Ballymun, and we had about between 70 or 80 parents come with their little ones sometimes, and we'd breakfast together and we introduced the booklet to them, and we read the letter for the parents that is incorporated in the book, and we gave them an opportunity to try out about half a dozen of the exercises, and it was absolutely hilarious. There was great fun and crack, and I suppose we had little baskets of colouring paper and glue and glitter and gum and scissors and all sorts, and there was great competition between the tables. And we were just saying to the parents, if you have such fun doing it, think what fun your children will have. And they're very easy, fun activities, but they're steeped in good learning.
And who put this booklet of activities together, and how much time did it take you to go about doing it?
Well, we have a team of people that put them together, so it's the right-minded team put them together. So there's three of us, there's myself, Martina and Donna Quigley. So it took us, I suppose we were about 6 weeks working on it, and some weekends. Donna was putting in weekends doing it as well, but it's just such a fantastic resource for the parents and for the children, and we've got great feedback off the kids. The kids absolutely love it, and they're actually knocking on the door and coming into us here in the office and telling us, you know, what activity they did, what they read, what they coloured in, or, you know, what joined the dots, and there's word searches and what they've done in it and how much they enjoyed it. And the teachers, it was given out in the school, and the teachers are actually coming back and telling us that it's absolutely fantastic resource for the kids as well, and they're delighted to see the kids having them as well.
Martina?
Yeah, we also, on that same breakfast buddies, we focused on play and the value of play. Play matters, you know, and looking at the different types of play, pretend play and creative play and play through language play, all those elements, and the sort of props, giving it time, valuing the play, encouraging it and extending it, you know, getting children to name what they're using. You know, if they put a sheet over a fence and they're calling it a tent, talking about going on an adventure and where we're going and what we might pack and bring with us, and looking up books to see what else we could do, or have we a bit, is there a television programme or a film that we could extend the interest around that area with through talk and discussion.
And Lorna?
I'm just thinking about my own son, Dylan, who is absolutely crazy about Liverpool Football Club since he's a young child. But how I actually capitalised on him loving Liverpool Football Club was by introducing different words to him, like, did he pass the ball quickly? Did he pass the ball slowly? We also looked then at the geography. So where were Liverpool playing their matches? We had a world map up, and we put little pins in where Liverpool were playing, so he was getting his geography. We looked at the kit, we looked at the rules of football, we looked at how many players do you need, we need the referee, what does he wear, the whistle, what does he need, his yellow card, his red card. There's so much different language around children's activities, but it's also about their interest level, and that's really, really important to aim for what the child is interested in. And I aimed for Liverpool with Dylan because that was what he was interested in. But I mean, it can be whatever your child is interested in.
Yeah. And is there any particular age group in particular that you're trying to target?
I think this is relevant for across all age groups, absolutely across all age groups. We have to keep our feet very firmly on the ground. If we're going to make really significant difference, we need children to spend a considerable amount of time at their literacy activity during the summer. I know we have a mentor here in Ballymun, in Young Ballymun, Dr. Timothy Shannon, who is an international expert on literacy, and he would say that children in the upper end of primary school would need to read about 4 books to really up the ante in terms of keeping their literacy levels.
This is over the summer, Martina.
During the summer. And that, for lots of children, lots and lots of children in Ballymun are doing that. There are lots of children who are hugely interested and will keep up activities through it. But I suppose for older children, there are activities as well. Lots of them are interested in dance and hip hop and things. And
this is the post-primary level.
Yes, yeah. And we're encouraging them to look at the lyrics of the songs that they're playing, maybe collect the lyrics, put them into a little booklet, maybe use the use of ICT. We have the RECO, which is one of the buildings here in the area, where they can use computers and they can build up photo stories, taking pictures, digital pictures, and putting them in and making a presentation on what they're doing. And also, grandparents are hugely important in children's lives, and they play a huge role here in Ballymun as well. We're delighted to see lots of grandparents come to our buddy mornings and interviewing grandparents about what they did in the olden days and what much pocket money they got and how they spent it, and putting that into some sort of a little booklet, printing it up, using Google Images to enhance their presentation. All those activities, they're lovely, easy, fun activities. A lot of the summer camps this year have decided to have photographers, and they're going to keep a record of the events and activities that they do and match them up with different people who'll put captions on them and a little paragraph on them, put them together in scrapbooks, keep a journal that can be passed from one project to another or one year to another. So I think some of the organisations and the parents themselves have come up with thousands of ideas and suggestions for what their children like doing.
When you describe it there now, I'm kind of thinking of two things. On the one hand, I'm thinking some people might say, if this is so good, why is the summer holidays so long? Should we actually look for the summer holidays to be shortened? Or the other side of it might be someone say, well, look, surely the children are entitled. They've had it worked hard all year, and maybe they actually just need a break and they need to get away from school and all these kinds of literacy activities. What would you say to both of those possible arguments?
Well, firstly, we did some literature review before we actually wondered at our best way of addressing this. And 2 or 3 things came to our attention. One of them was that, it is significant, this decline in literacy levels during the summer. The second was children are engaged in other activities. And when we looked at projects that to see, was there an improvement in literacy levels, the projects that worked best were not the ones that were based on literacy camps. They were not the ones that worked best. The ones that worked best were activity-based projects that had a literacy element. Children need a break. They need to be doing other things. They need to change a venue. They need different territory. They need different to interact with different adults in a different way. And that is hugely valuable for them. And we value that, and we value the role that they play in child's education. But it is bringing it in to those fun activities. That's the natural way to do it. And from our reading, that's when it happened. Interestingly, though, it said that lots of good summer camps didn't improve children's literacy levels, and when they looked at why, they hadn't a focus on it. The ones that did improve were those that had a very definite focus on literacy.
For parents who mightn't have access to the activity books that you gave out, what key things would you say to parents who want to help their child over the summer months, not experience the summer slide and to keep up? What advice would you give them, Lorna?
There's loads of different activities that parents can be doing right throughout their day, still including their housework, their cooking. For example, if you went to the supermarket, you could be if you were in the bus or a car, or you were even walking to the supermarket, read the signs as you're going along the road, read the signs at the bus stop, read the billboards, talk about different things when you're in the supermarket. So if you're looking at the fruit and veg aisle, maybe talk about that there's pips in the apples, and you know, the orange, how does the skin and the orange feel, you know. Read labels and instructions. At home, if you're actually making a recipe with a child, you know, talk about the different items that you're using, the sieve, the mixer. What are you doing? You're using the wooden spoon. I'm mixing, you know, I'm greasing my tray. We're going to eat the buns. All of those different things parents can be doing. If you think about in the park, what can they be doing in the park? You can be listening to the sounds, naming the sounds. Then maybe you could go home and write a little story about what you've actually heard in the park, what you've done in the park. And most importantly, I would suppose, is for parents to actually sit down and maybe read a book with their children, or for older children, for the children to see parents reading, and to see that reading has a use and has a value. And so when parents are reading books, either to children, to make that reading fun, you know, to get involved in the book, make it a laugh, ask them questions, ask them to predict what you think is going to happen next, you know. If it's a young child, sing the book to them, you know. Some of them rhyming books are lovely. You can actually sing them, look at the different rhymes, learn them together, you know. I mean, there's so many different things. Martina probably has a few more ideas there.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking of a lovely project that happened during the last term here, where the homeschool community liaison teachers in the school organised a One Book One Ballymun, and the same book was read by parents and children by organisations together, and it was just amazing how much enthusiasm it generated. The kids loved the fact that the parents knew the book they were reading, and I couldn't help thinking how lovely it would be to go to the library together and pick the same book, read the same book, have a chat about it, you know, if I finish a chapter, or see who gets to page whatever first, or can you find out, make a prediction, see who finds out where was their prediction right. Just that sort of talk about it can be so fun.
And what book did you choose?
Far Away Home was the name of the book.
Marilyn
French.
No.
Marilyn Taylor.
Sorry. But another great way, I used to do this with my own children when they were younger, is, you know, the Argos catalogue, the little catalogue, you know, to get them and actually use scissors, cut up what you want. And I used to say to the kids, okay, we have €1,000, what are we going to buy today, you know, and having a piece of paper, a bit of glue, gluing down what we cut out and say, right, today we're going to buy, you know, it could be a television, normally it was games of some sort, but just to do kind of fun activities like that with the kids. And you know, cutting up things is pre-literacy. Also making jigsaws, you know, you can make jigsaws off the cover of magazines with your children. They're all pre-literacy activities, and the children love doing all them as well, you know. I also used to, using your imagination, one thing I used to do with my own children was make a spaceship. Now, when I say we made a spaceship, we actually drew circles on a page, coloured them in, and we stuck them on my son's headboard, and that was the buttons for our spaceship. But before we could make this spaceship, I had to show my son what a spaceship looked like. So we went on Google, we looked up what a spaceship looked like. I told him about the space shuttle. I had to tell him then about astronauts, and that astronauts wore special costumes. So we both had colanders or pots on our heads, you know, for our astronaut suit. Then we'd sit on the bed, and then we had to do lift off. And obviously then, I mean, my son thought this was the best thing in the world, but I was actually teaching him how to count backwards. We were going lift off, 10, 9, 8. we would do it together. It was great crack. And then through that then, we would go to the library, we would look at books on space. I actually taught him about Yuri Gagarin. I taught him about Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong. You know, we used to walk around the living room. How do you walk like a spaceman? You know, we talk all about gravity. And this particular son, I've one son that's mad into Liverpool. This is my other son, Jamie. He's mad into science fiction now, you know. And I don't know whether that's my influence on him, you know, but again, I was picking on him. I was going with what interested him, and this interested him, and that's where we developed that. So,
and finally, Martina and Lona, this initiative is part of Write On, which is part of Young Ballymun. Can you just tell us a little bit about both organisations?
Okay, it's actually just one organisation. Right Minded is one of the six services of Young Ballymun, and the services work with local organisations and existing services. We work with existing services to provide additional service for the people in Ballymun. So, for example, there's the service Ready Steady Grow, which works with the parents of very young children, and in collaboration with the public health nurses. And we have Incredible Years, which is a social and emotional behaviour programme that works in a lot of the junior classes in the schools in Ballymun. There are six services altogether, right up to Jigsaw Young Ballymun, which looks at promoting good mental health for all young people. So Right Minded works in collaboration with all the other services. I mean, parents come through all the services. We have parents of the very young, of the pre-birth mums before their babies are born. We do projects with them. Lorna makes story sacks with them. We work with some of the parents in the Ready Steady Grow in terms of how to talk matters, communication. We work with the parents in Incredible Years when they're doing their parenting program. We go in there and we say, here you are learning how to communicate with your children at a social and emotional level. One of the loveliest ways to communicate with your children is through reading together, through doing activities together, through talking together in a meaningful way about what the children want to talk about and want to know about. So Right Minded, while we do a lot of work with the schools, Donna and myself, Donna is the Oral Language Development Officer and I'm the Literacy Coordinator, but Lorna spends a huge amount of her time doing family and community work. And we intermingle, the three of us, work together on some projects, separately on others, and with the other services as well. So we certainly do not do any of this on our own.
And that was Martina Gannon and Lorna McCarthy from Right Minded, a service of Young Ballymun. That's it for this week's Inside Education programme. You can hear podcasts of previous programmes on insideed.com. You can email us at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Barry Hennessy and I are taking a break from live programmes for the next 6 weeks. In this time slot, we'll be bringing you some of the most popular podcasts from the last 2 years of Inside Education programmes. So until the 28th of August, we hope you have a great summer. For now, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.